on the roof.
Betty called before the break. Owner of several rental properties down in Tucson. What a smart woman. What a great place to put your investment money. I mean, what better way would there be to go into retirement with about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 completely free and clear properties right in there close to the university that you could have a high probability of constantly keeping them rented? What a nice way to spend your estate money. Or you could go in the stock market. Easy decision for me. But Betty's got this situation where her flat roof drains the area of your house, the wall that goes above your flat roof. That's called a parapet, okay? And for decorative reasons, we put it up there so you're not staring at all the equipment that's up on your roof. And then we have to drain the water off the roof somehow, but that parapet creates a dam. So we have to penetrate the parapet with a thing that we call a scupper drain. And in 1928, when Betty's masonry home was built, we simply took a concrete block and we turned it sideways as we were laying up the wall, and the water would simply drain out there. We'd build the roof to come in flat exactly with the bottom of the open edge of the block, and everything would drain fine. That generally worked pretty good. But what we'd rather do, Betty, is we would like to build a galvanized steel scupper liner. And it's going to go out onto the roof about 6 inches. It's going to go up on the back side of the parapet about 6 inches above the opening. And then it is going to have like this snoot that goes into the hole of the block, extends out past the surface, the exterior surface of your exterior wall, far enough so that as the rainwater is draining, it lands on a splash block and not dribbles down the stucco of your home. What's happening is as that water is trying to leave the roof, it's being saturated in by the absorbent concrete masonry units that make up the exterior surface of your home. It's soaking up that water, and then as the sun comes out, it starts heating up the outside face of that stucco, which then literally boils the water out to the surface of the stucco and evaporates it. All the time it's doing that, it's causing delamination between the stucco and the block. So chunks of stucco start falling off the wall. That's what we have to stop. A good paint job helps a lot, but we're never going to stop it for sure until we put this galvanized scupper in and extend the snoot out past the wall far enough so it doesn't drain down the wall. That's generally going to be at least 6 inches, okay? A 6-inch extension. So you can go to just about any company that makes duct work. You can call any one of our Rosie Certified roofers, and they can have it made up for you. The important thing is when you install this liner, you want to make sure you're not raising the drain level of your roof, thereby creating a dam that will then hold water up on your roof. So you want to make sure when you install this scupper liner, you install it low enough so it continues draining. And that'll solve your problem on your beautiful 700-square-foot, 1928 masonry historic home in beautiful Tucson, Arizona. There you go, Betty. Appreciate the call. How about Rick? Shall we go to Rick? We get to Rick, then we've got Frank, and then we've got Jeff. Rick in Phoenix, good morning. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Are you hearing anything? Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Hey, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning. We've got two projects that we'd like to complete. Okay. One, the exterior of the house to paint it, and tile the den and living room. Okay. If we want to cut costs, which would you recommend we hire a contractor for, leaving the other for a do-it-yourself?
Okay, that's a good question. First thing I would ask, are either one of those trades one that you have tried before?
No.
Okay. How much do you like crawling around on your hands and knees and every once in a while kneeling down on like a rock right on your kneecap?
That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah. How much do you like bending over, backbreaking up and down, outside to the concrete saw, the wet tile saw, cutting it, coming back, finding out you left it a 16th of an inch too long, going back out and recutting it again? What I'm getting at, Rick, is you can watch YouTube videos to learn how to tile. You can watch YouTube videos to learn how to paint. I can coach you through a good painting job easier than I can coach you through a tile job. So if you're asking me which one I recommend, I would say paint. But painting isn't as easy as most people think either. They don't prep properly. They don't spend the money on the right tools. And they don't spend money on the right product. So because it's my opinion that I can coach you through a painting job easier than I can coach you through a tile job, and that assumes that your house is a single story. Can we assume that?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to take the responsibility of what part of Arizona do you live in?
South Phoenix.
Okay, give me a major cross street.
Dobbins and 19th Avenue.
Okay, all right. Rick, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm leaving town right after the broadcast. I get back Monday night. I'm gonna come and I'm gonna show you what preparation needs to be done on this house to get it ready for a paint job, and then I'm gonna show you what preparation would have to be done to do a tile job, and then I'm gonna let you decide what you want to do yourself, okay? And then Rosie on the house is gonna spend the first $250 of materials to get this project done. Whichever you choose to do on your own, we're going to spend the first $250 to help you, and I'll tutor you through it. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that sounds outstanding.
Okay, I've got your phone number. I'll be in touch with you on Tuesday. We'll set that appointment up. And it's a great question, Romy, because everybody looks at painting and says, well, I can do that. Painting right is hard. It's hard work. It takes a lot of experience, and it takes the right tools, and it takes the right product.
And we all do the same thing. When you start a project, you want to finish it. And after about 3 days of prep work and you haven't started painting, corners start getting cut a lot of times.
We go into the blow and go method.
I can't drag this out any longer. Get it done.
All right.
We've taken care of mistakes start happening.
Taking care of Betty's roof in Tucson. We're going to help Rick with his tile and or paint job in Phoenix. Let's run out to Jeff in Mesa, see how we can help Jeff this morning. Jeff, good morning. What are you up to, my friend?
Good morning, Rosie. I have a tile roof, and I'm planning on roofing it myself. And
oh,
I
boy.
What the best underlayment would be. And would you recommend using either rolled roofing over the underlayment or shingles?
Well, let me just say this. If you're going to tile your own roof, this is one job I won't volunteer to come out and help you with. You've got a tile roof now?
I do.
Okay. What condition is that tile in? Are we going to try and save it and just put
it? I got some cracked ones, so I'm going to go buy some new ones to replace the ones that are already cracked. I've done some of that already.
Okay.
So I plan on taking all the tile off. And then going down, stripping it all, and then basically either putting the an underlayment or also someone's telling me about doing a shingle over that for, like, lifetime.
Yeah. You don't need to do a three-tab shingle for getting very close to a lifetime underlayment.
Okay.
Generally speaking, Jeff, if you're doing it yourself, we can kind of overspend on materials because we're saving on labor, right?
Right.
And when you even entertain the idea of a three-tab shingle for that lifetime roof, that tells me you're going to be staying in this house.
Correct.
Okay. I would probably recommend a layer of 15-pound roofing felt.
Okay.
Okay. And then I would go maybe a layer of 30, and then I would actually roll out a cap sheet, 90 or 110-pound cap sheet, and I'd apply that with mastic and nails, and then I would go over the top of that.
Okay.
With my cleats for the roof tile. Okay?
Okay. Hey, when you put down the underlayment, the felt, what would you use? Staples? Or I've seen the other things they've been using, like nails, whatever, with the round discs.
Well, those are called simplex nails, and okay. And I generally will apply the felt and underlayment with the simplex nails.
Okay.
You get a lot more bearing surface on the felt than you do with just a staple head.
Gotcha. And when you're saying the 90 or 110 pounds, is that rolled roofing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and there and I have roofers that would tell you that two layers of 30 or a 30 and a 60 would probably give you just as much effort. The 90-pound cap sheet is a pain in the neck to apply. I'm going to tell you that right up straight. It's heavy. It's very hard to keep on a straight line.
Correct.
You know, and you're using nails that, you know, you have to lay your hand down with the nail head up. You miss your nail just a couple times and pound your finger into the backside of that cap sheet where the granules cut your knuckles. After about 3 hours of that, it's just you're losing your sense of humor really quick. So.
Well, I appreciate all the advice.
Yeah, and if you wanted a couple more opinions, because it's kind of like everybody's opinion on plumbing. Do you use PEX or do you use copper? I've got plumbers in both worlds that
I respect.
Swear by
both.
Swear by both and swear by each. Jeff, you're certainly welcome to call any one of the Rosie Certified Roofers in Phoenix. That would be Pinnacle Roofing. That would be George & Sons Roofing. That would be Lyons Roofing. And that would be Durafoam. And you could just tell them we talked on air. And you can poll them and just say, I'd like to know if I'm doing it myself, if you were doing your own roof at your house, what would you put down as an underlayment? You'll be polling the best four roofers in Phoenix. And then you'll have five opinions. Then you can call back and we can decide. Then you
which
can
of draw, the five then, is right for
then,
you.
Then you can just draw from a hat, whichever one you pick. Okay? God bless you, Jeff. That's a big job. That is a big job.
On that topic of various opinions, we do get that question sometimes. Hey, I've had two of your contractors both out, and they say slightly different things. Which one's right? Well, there'll be a difference of opinion, but it'll all be within code, up to workmanship standards, and even above that. That's what we expect from our guys. So, tomato, tomato, two layers of 13-pound felt. Or one layer of 30. I mean, it as long as it's a company that you know will be there and do the right thing if something goes wrong, hey, it's hard to go wrong there.
Yeah. Yeah, I do know, and just to clarify, I do know that we don't have a roofer that would recommend two layers of 15. That's what a lot of builders use and a lot of what economy roofers will estimate, and that's something we would not generally support. I don't think any of our roofers would go that way, but the 15 and the 30, or 115 and a 30 and a 60, or a 15 and a
90,
and yeah, lots of multiple combinations there. We can talk our way through all of them. So there you go, Jeff. Good luck. I'm anxious to visit with Rick and see if I can get his project started as well. We've got a call from Queen Creek, Frank. Let's see if we can give him
right after this break.
Oh, right after this break. Hang on, Frank, and hang on, Teresa, and all the rest of you homeowners trying to get in. We just took three calls. We just cleared three lines. There's an open line if you want to sneak in now. 1-888-767-4348.